This is open this afternoon for interruptions, questions, additions. We're here to learn from each other. And the sooner we get to the place that we can gather in this form, to where we do have an open meeting, to where we can share with one another, we're going to be lacking. Because it brings demands upon each one of us to be open to each other and to know that God is working in the members of the body of Christ to build us together, and we need the supply that each one has. So feel your freedom, yet feel your restraint if the Holy Spirit's not really moving in your hearts. The thing is, when we're moving in the life of God, we must be aware that what we bring must build us up or edify others that are here, not just ourselves. We're looking, as we have last Sunday evening, we looked in, I would say, in a brief time of eldership qualifications. This afternoon, I'm probably going to come from a completely different standpoint than that. So don't think that I am ignoring it, that I've forgotten it. I haven't. But I think that there's things that must happen in our lives that's going to bring this about in God's timing and God's way. So let's concentrate on that. And when I say concentrate, I mean we've got to give ourselves to the working of God. As you see, if you've looked at it and searched it out, which we have briefly, I don't say we have full knowledge of everything, but as you see the different gatherings of believers in the New Testament, the book of Acts, Paul going forth, others going forth, and you see eldership established or overseers pointed out, there was a time element there. And sometimes we don't know exactly how long it was. And so it isn't just a form that you move into, but it's something that God has ordained. We need God's order. We must always keep that in preeminence in our hearts and in our mind, that the order of God is not against us. The order of God is that which God can pour the fullness of himself into. If it does not have order, then God can't fill it. But the area that I want to look at, if you want to follow along in some of these areas, these verses at least, let me read in 1 Peter. I'm going to be in 1 Peter there for a few verses. But at the very beginning of 1 Peter chapter 1, let me just read this to us. Verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Pass those two together. Kept by the power through faith. If I want the power, I must be moving in faith. Let's just say it again. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Now, we're not just talking about the initial step of salvation. We're talking about the overall that Peter is revealing here. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So we're looking, I think, through here to the power of God attached to faith. Faith makes me, you, active. It isn't just one or two being active, but that we have got to provoke each other in love until each one of us are active in this relationship with God. Don't think in this realm that some are going to be above others and I'm just a weak one or anything else. We all are the family of God. And there's bound to be those that God gives grace to do certain things. Praise God for those. They're gifts to all of us. But we must realize this. And we must realize that what God is doing, he's doing in his family. We're brought into the household of God, and there is a tremendous working, or should be, a tremendous working going on. And what we want to just concentrate on here for this short time here this afternoon is one area. I think you've already heard glimpses of it here and there today as different ones have said certain things, but we want to emphasize this area because of its importance. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in the obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unforeign love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We could just stop right there and ponder on that area there. Now, let me read it again. Seeing that you purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love, or that which has no foreign matter in it, but the pureness of what he's saying here, of the brethren, that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Let me just make some statements. And they may seem absolute to you, but we are not going to take any steps spiritually unless we move in the life of God. That is love. Love binds us together. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. This love of God is not something we talk about, read about, or something that we feel. It's something that we put our wills into. And that means that we must see a manifestation of it. It's not something that we can continue to talk about and people just write poems about. It's something that each one of us are going to have to be involved in. Because if we're going to see the church function, the foundation is love. And as Peter says here, and it's the unfeigned love of the brethren. Glory. I mean, this is where we express. It doesn't mean that we do not love the sinner out there and reach out to them, but that which is towards the brother. And then let's look at the other. That you love one another with a pure heart. You have no alternative motives. What you're loving somebody or what you're doing for somebody. It's pure. You're laying your life down as Christ laid his life down for us. And he says, fervently. I know we like to talk about this area because I don't think any of us want love that isn't fervent, right? Amen. Or do we really know what fervent love is all about? It says, love one another fervently. In other words, we would say it this way, let our hearts be burning within us that God can submit us together. Because the only way he's going to submit us together is that we can move together, that we can know his order, is if we are moving in the love of God. And if we cannot be half-hearted in it, we must be fervent. We must see the purpose of God. God doesn't work in ignorance. God works with truth. He brings truth before us. Now, we all desire love. Some of us look at love in different forms. Some of us look in love. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted by our brothers and sisters. We're looking for that love that comes from the human aspect. We want to have our next hug or, you know, somebody to tell us that they love us. But how about the love that's willing to lay down their life for us? Christ laid down his life for us. This is the kind of love that's going to stand the test. The other, we can hug each other's neck, we can tell each other we love each other, but that's not going to stand the test unless it's real. Because I'm not taking away that we should show love to one another. We should hug each other's neck. We should greet each other with a holy kiss. I'm not taking away from that. But if that's what we're looking for, and we're not looking for something deeper, because that will come with the genuine expression of this love which is fervent. Again, I don't think that you're looking for a love that's not fervent. you might have got to a place that you accept expression of love and definitions of love, but we're looking here, as Peter says, that you love one another with a pure heart, so there can be no wrong motives there, but you do it fervently. Glory. That's what the foundation is. Now, we need in this time, and I say it's a time of preparation, God preparing our hearts. We need to work because we're sons, not because we're trying to become sons, but because we've been brought into the family of God. We need to labor at loving one another. If I might say it this way, giving away what God has given you freely. Work at it. Boy, this is the hardest thing it seems to for us to get a handle on, to get an understanding of. We just can't realize that, you know, we need to be working or exerting anything, but you need to be giving your whole being to it. When you talk about fervency, you're talking about you. We're not talking about somebody else. We're talking about you. We're talking about me. Fervently giving ourselves to loving one another. Because all of this other about eldership is not going to mean anything unless this is the foundation. Eldership is not a cure-all. It's only a framework to watch out over and care for. But the very basis and foundation of our gathering must be God, which is love. I know you've heard about this. So, I mean, we've got to come up over our concepts of this afternoon. And we've got to determine in our own heart that we're going to let the love of God work in us, the pureness of it, in fervency. Glory. What a privilege. Let's look at a couple other verses. Over in chapter 2, in verse 5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We're built up a spiritual house. Each one of us must be alive. Not just talking about feelings now. We're talking about the very spirit of life. And that's what it says. As lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Now, even when we, as God would give us brothers that would fulfill the area of oversight, it doesn't take the place of us being a holy priesthood. It doesn't move and do things that God wants us to do right now. A lot of times we think we need this to function. We do not need this to function. If you read over in the 14th chapter, I think, of 1 Corinthians, you'll see that when you come together, each one of you has something to distribute, a tongue, an interpretation, a teaching. A word from God. The whole emphasis is that you have something that's going to edify, that's going to build up your brothers and sisters. Anything that we bring should be that which we have knowledge of, because we're not just coming off in our mouth with something, but we have knowledge of that what we're doing it to build up the whole church. Because that's what all of those things for. We could get to a place that we do things, we could sing songs, we could speak in tongues, we can interpret tongues, we could have a prophecy, but it's not done with the whole desire in our heart and with the emphasis and with knowledge that we're here to edify. And beloved, if it doesn't edify you, don't think it's going to edify somebody else. Whatever you get from God must edify you first. Before you're going to bring it, it's going to be that which brings what God wants it to do in each one of our lives. As you go on to read there, you are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous life. Now, putting that together with the admonitions of John, as far as light is concerned, walking in the light, realizing that there's no darkness in light, then we start to see a little bit more of what he's actually talking here. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God left you in the world. He's called you out into his marvelous light. And if you walk in that light, and that light is God himself, he is light, you'll find out that you have fellowship. And that's where the love of God starts to move and starts to flow. It's when we start to have fellowship. Because we can talk about loving each other all day, but unless we're open for the fellowship. In other words, God, when he opens the door for fellowship with us, it's because he has already come and given. We must take and be willing to partake, and then we must be willing to give. And it's going to be expressed as we walk together, as we fellowship together. Now, all of this is, what I'm saying is prerequisite to any type of oversight. This is the functioning of the body. Can we learn? Can we have trust in God, faith in God, that he is able to direct us, that we can partake from each other? It's a great place of learning. It's a place that, unless we have humility, we're going to think, some of us may think that we have all of the answers. We do not have all of the answers. Nobody here has all the answers. There's only one that has the answers, and that's God. Now, God may be giving grace to different ones for different things, but praise God, they're gifts to us. We shouldn't hate what God has given to us. Just going over in another place in Peter where, because Peter here, 1 Peter is loaded with love. You think maybe John is loaded with love. Well, Peter's loaded with love too as you go on and look through it. Because as he continues to open up this area, as you go on and down here, dearly beloved, 11th verse, I beseech you that as strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's got to be something that's seen. And that's what Peter's saying. This isn't something to talk about. This is something to be seen. Now, we need to rightly divide. We need to talk about it. There needs to be some fervency in our life, each one of our lives, not just a few. But it needs to be seen. Somebody coming into our midst must be able to feel and sense that love is flowing, that we love one another. And it's a fervency. It's not something that's dead. It's not a doctrine that we have. It's something that's real. And that must be worked at. Amen. You husbands and wives, do you work at it? You know probably better, because it's a practical working. It's an expression. You work at loving one another. You say, well, if you love one another, you don't have to work at it. Stop and see what happens. We work at it. You labor at it. You learn some of the great attributes that God has already worked in you to be manifested in your life. Patience, long-suffering, gentleness. And we must be learning these things. Because if we're jumping in here, and as I say, I'm not taking away from the thrust that God wants to do in our midst. I'm saying that the foundation must be God himself, which is love. And it must be working. It must be beyond us just talking about it. 17th verse, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. The main thing here, love and the brotherhood. These words are easy to be spoken. It takes a lifetime to walk them out and live them out and enjoy them. We get glimpses every now and then and a taste of the fervency of His love from each other. Just think more if the flame would start to burn. We're talking about God now. We're not talking about a fleshly manifestation. We're not talking just about our emotions being stirred. We're talking about the fervency of that divine nature. And He says, with a pure heart. Remember that. Keep that in mind. All right, over in the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter. Now, let me start at the 8th. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Otherwise, we're to be a blessing, right? Is this our thrust? To be a blessing. To be a blessing. Now, everything that I'm saying here this afternoon, at the very beginning, is going to seem mechanical. Any of you that has moved in any degree of spirituality realizes that the beginning working, the first steps you take, seem mechanical. But unless it's coming from the reality of what God has deposited in you, then that's all it is a mechanical, and it's very easily discerned. But don't think just because it feels mechanical that we aren't to give ourselves to it. That's where so many go wrong on down the line, and I'm not interested in looking to the ones that go wrong, but if you want to see the difference between what I'm talking about is those that go on and forget about giving themselves to it, don't do it, and pretty soon they are no longer. So it's important that we look at these things in the proper light. Verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Don't talk about anybody. Don't criticize anybody. Don't have any guile. There's ways that God has chosen in His Word and in the church to take care of certain situations. Just because we see something wrong, there's no sign that we have to go in and criticize or be found with guile in our own thinking and in our own mind. Tremendous victory when you can start to see this and not talk about different ones. Glory. Shall I read it again? For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they should speak no guile. Now this is part of love. You never find somebody that's loving somebody that's speaking one side out of one side of their mouth, things, criticism, or anything else. If we love, we love. As I say, this is not a compromise. This is not overlooking. God has a means of taking care of everything. Are we willing to let God take care of it? And are we willing to be a vessel that is pure, that can be just what it says here? Refraining our tongues from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Do we know what that means? To speak no guile. Now let me read another passage found in that same chapter, verse 17. I probably need to read 16 also. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversations in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing rather than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, and the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Glory. Tremendous areas. In chapter 4, verse 8, comes right back to the emphasis of what we're trying to say here this afternoon. Above all things. What do you think it means? Above all things. Let me say it again. How many times, Cindy, do you repeat and say to your class? So excuse me if I keep going over, if I'm repetitious. Because we need to learn these things. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. He doesn't just say have love. It says fervent love among yourselves. Now, beloved, that's not going to happen just because we want it to happen. It's going to happen because we work at it. Because we realize that we are a member of the body of Christ. We don't take it as just something that we come and go to meetings on certain days, but we're actually a member of the body of Christ. And He has deposited within us something that is divine. We have the ability. We're not looking for the ability. Each one of us sitting here this afternoon has the ability to love fervently.
Amen.
All right. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. There's so many things that we can see are needful. Let me just look over here in this fifth chapter for a minute, because that's what we're talking about. I'm not going to read the first part of it. He's speaking about that he was an elder, and he was speaking to the elders there in this, by this particular letter. He told them what to do: feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. And when we say willingly, we're talking about that loving care. Because we brought out the other night, it's important that anybody that fulfills any of these areas of grace that we're talking about as far as oversight or ministry and everything must love the brethren. If we don't love, we will drive the sheep. If we don't love, we will beat the sheep. This is very important. We must have a content sheep. Each one of us must be content. Right? As you've been brought into the place to graze or partake of what God has for you, you've been led by the still waters, you must be content when you partake of this. You can't be those that are disturbed all the time. You must be content. And if we're doing something other than what God has called us, we will move from one place to another, and we will not be content. When we are actually feeding from God, and we're moving, as in some of the areas that I've talked about here, mainly with the foundation of love, we're going to be content. Satisfied. Praise Him. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Here's where they come, that we are the ones that are going to have the oversight, are going to have to be those that are examples. They have been partakers. Their lives are partaking of what they are doing even in the midst. They've experienced it. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Then it goes on. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you, being subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. All of these things are based in what I'm saying here this afternoon, as far as love is concerned. I'm not going to go to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, but you can. Paul's saying, I'll show you a more perfect way. Beloved, the body of Christ is supposed to function underneath the headship of Christ. We are being built together by the Spirit. What did the early church do before these groups that we're Paul saw raised up? What were they doing before they had oversight? They were functioning. They were first called Christians in Antioch. Why? Why? In other words, there was a love being revealed. They were walking with the Lord. There was something happening in their lives. And as we continue on to look at many of these areas, as you go on in 1 John, and you may want to read that again. Just the whole 1 John. And when I say read these things, I mean prayerfully consider these areas that the Spirit of God can speak to you. We're laborers. We're reading the instruction. But we have the one that's able to fulfill all of the instruction dwelling within us. Glory. Sometimes we don't realize it. We're reading instruction, trying to copy the instruction. I have the one that's able to give me the ability to be what he says I'm to be. If he says I'm to do this and I'm to do this, I have the one that's able to do that in me. You have the one that's able to do that in you. This is not something you're doing separate from him. This is something you're doing because you're in him. You're in union with him. In other words, we need this body consciousness. We need this awareness by the Spirit of who we are in Christ. This does not exalt us. It brings us to a place that we can receive from God and be partakers of it. 1 John chapter 4, let me just read a few verses here in this here chapter. Beloved, 7th verse, let us love one another. Command, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So we're not putting anything on any of us that does not reveal who we are in God. We love because we've been born of God. It's a revealer. It reveals who we are. Now, the thing is, we're exhorting here this afternoon that we give ourselves in all fervency to love one another. You know, sometimes we don't get into these areas until we get into trouble. Then we go seek counsel to see if we can see what to do, what we need to be told to do to try to straighten out our relationships. And all the bottom line is, love has leaked out somewhere. Because when we get back into love, that's what your counsel is to do. Get back into where you're loved, that you're alive, you're fervently in love. Love is the cure-all. But beloved, we can't talk about it and have it cure anything. We got to move it. And it must become fervent. And if that's not in feelings either. Sometimes we mix up these things and we think, I've got to feel that, you know, something burning in me. Let God take care of the burning. Don't try to work things up. The only thing I'm saying here this afternoon, God, if you're a child of God, God has deposited within you love. Now use it. Fervently. Glory. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This is the basis of many of these things that we're talking about. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Not that we might copy him, but that we might live through him. Just tell us what to do. that you might live through him. How am I supposed to act? You have the life of God, live in him. Therein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, all of these areas, I could go further and further, but I'm not going to take the time here this afternoon to go all the way through all of those areas. You need to read them and seek the Lord prayerfully. But when you do, you're going to have to do something. You can't read about love and not do something. You can philosophize about it, but unless God gets a hold of your will, you cannot love. Hello? Do you realize this is true? When God puts the love in my heart or in your heart, I will to love. In other words, will is to put my whole being active in this that God has given me. And that's what it means for you. To love is to put my will into this that God has given me and express it to others. And we're those that are waiting for something to happen. God will do it. Pray that God will do it. You have it. You do it. I don't mean to be harsh with you. I'm just trying to express what I'm talking about here this afternoon. In other words, this isn't something that we're waiting for God to do. God has already done it. What more do you want than God dropping within your soul that divine element of his divine nature, love? Now, is he going to come and love through you? Yes, because he's given you the ability, but you're going to do it. God's not going to do it. He's already given you the ability. You're going to do it. You're going to love. And it's going to reveal who you are. In other words, if we're sons, we love. If we're daughters, we love. This great working that we're talking about brings a number of things. And I just want to briefly go over those before we stop here this afternoon. But as I say, you can interrupt me at any time. Just, shout it out, raise your hand, do anything you want to do. But I mean, we need, you know, some fellowship in this here.
Yes.
Go ahead. That's all right.
To emphasize that area, I know you said it already several times, but if you can hear it, we've all probably come this way where God has taught us what love is along the way in this walk. But most of us, we've waited or are waiting for the feeling to come. Right. We don't realize that love is a commandment. And it's not just a commandment that says, like you said it already, it's not that it's separate from it, a commandment because he's given us something. It's just like when I read about the talent, he's given us something. And then when he's given us something, he says, use it. You know, express it. And the ones
who don't bury it, right?
Don't bury it. He said, I've given you. So, in these areas, plus the examples of what we, depending on how we walk with our influences have been in life, a lot of us, I included, we grew up with the wrong concept of what love is. Love is usually, if we got emotional, if we felt, you know, something tingling, and then we were moved, and that was love. Mm-hmm. And now, we know that love can be expressed in that way, you don't take away from that, but that is definitely not...
Is that expression or... Is that something else? Otherwise, I don't express my love through feelings. Right?
Can you say it again?
The results. The results is not those things that you're talking about. Whether I feel tingly or not.
No.
See, it's got to be more than that.
No, it's more than that.
Right.
In the love, it has certain expression. It can be expressed in different ways, but it's much more than that. It's obedience to the Word of God, and it's a commandment to us. But we're normally waiting for something to be stimulated instead of loving in the way God has commanded us to love. We're waiting for something to happen emotionally or something, and that's usually the way people think of love.
Yeah, they feel goosebumps, or they feel tingling, like you said. Right. But I don't come to you and say, brother, I love you. I feel tingling. I mean, this is silly. And this is what we, this is actually what we're waiting on for that. What you're saying is tingling, and we need to get out of that. If we love, God will give us the ability as we put our wills into this command and love one another fervently.
But there's nothing, I mean, even when you look at the cross, there's nothing tingling about it. I mean, it's a horrible death. I mean, it's love lays down the lives. I mean, that's the way he demonstrated. He just didn't say, I love you. And then Jesus used those words, I love. But yet he demonstrated a way that is beyond feelings, that is laying down his life for the sheep.
So we also say that to allow this love to come through, sometimes we have difficulty. I think we're unaware that it takes self-control. Or I'm going to say control of the Holy Ghost. We're so used to just allowing self to have its expression out of habit, right? It doesn't take anything to blurt out or to react out of self. But really, to see the love of God come through, there needs to be self-control. Self that is controlled by the Holy Ghost to see these attributes that we're talking about come through and see that it's going to be me, right? Coming under the discipline, or are we going to say the control of the Holy Ghost, to see those things that are edified come through our lives, and God needs to break us of our habits and our ways, our words, our thoughts, and to where we can see the love of God that comes through, that is considerate, you know, it's careful, it's proper in every situation to come through. And to take self-control, I think. Part of the love of God. Sometimes we just want something to happen. We just want it to happen. But what you're sharing here, there, we have a part.
We're still trying to live in the flesh rather than in the spirit. That's what it amounts to. So we have to have feelings. That's fleshly. Nothing wrong with them. God will give those too. But the basis of it is spiritual. Right? Let me just quickly, he mentioned some things there. Let me quickly mention some other things here for your consideration, prayerful consideration, this coming week. This love that we've been talking about, which we've only touched and tried to emphasize how it works in some small way, it brings responsibility to one another. Check it out, brothers and sisters. Let me speak to you sisters first. When you fall in love, which is a wrong expression, but when you love with a divine love, it brings responsibility in your relationship with your husband. Husbands, when you love with the love that's willing to give of yourself, shall we call it selfless love? It brings with it responsibilities. Far-reaching. And some of us don't, we don't stop and grasp these before we jump into this. We found it out afterwards. But this is exactly what it is. It brings responsibilities to one another. Now, we never think about this as far as the church is concerned, about it, Christ. But see, we're brought in, we're Christ is ahead, we're members of the body, but this love, immediately when we come in, brings responsibility to one another. We don't even think of that. I'm just responsible to myself. I'm just looking to God for my salvation. In the body of Christ, you have a responsibility to every member. Oh. You mean I just don't have to worry about myself? This is not worrying. This is functioning. This is living. So many times we get a burden on us because we're trying to do something. You're alive, fervently alive, in love, and you'll see what it does. Responsibilities. Another thing that it brings into expression. It brings holiness or righteousness in each one of our lives. This great love of God, this is exactly what it does. It brings an order. I want you to consider these things this coming week. It brings us into a relationship which has to be worked out in fellowship. Let me say it again. It brings us into a relationship that has to be worked out, I said, has to be worked out in a fellowship. Husbands and wives, you try to have a relationship and not work it out in a fellowship, and you'll understand more of what I'm saying here. But that is somewhat of the marriage is in this world, because in heaven, we're not going to, there's not going to be marriage or given in marriage.
Amen.
What are you saying amen about? Okay, let's go on. This love that we're talking about, it works in us the area of ministry that builds up and edifies. You can come on the site, the building site. You've got your shovel, you've got your hammer, you've got your saw. You stand there. What do I do? You don't just dig a hole in the ground. You just don't drive nails in a piece of wood. God has a plan. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's building this together, so we must be in touch with Him. What I'm saying here, consider it now. It brings ministry. That means we're sharing of the life that God has given us. I'm not talking about the ministry that's coming in the midst of the church for the ministry of the word. I'm talking about it brings ministry in each one of us, a sharing, a giving of ourselves that edifies and builds up the other members. I think you can find that over there in Ephesians. Every member giving increase. All right? All right, this love, here's another thing that it brings when it's unhindered. It brings a readiness to serve others. Don't like the word serve? It brings a readiness to give of yourself for others. Other area, it brings a utter dependence on Christ. I cannot love separate from Him. All that we have said and what He has done in you, He has come to abide within you. You can do nothing separate from Him. So don't think that I'm saying over here, you know, love fervently separate from love. That ain't what I'm saying. It brings you into that relationship where you're utterly dependent upon God in you. It eliminates all these other things that we've been talking about here this afternoon. And I know you're not going to get this in one setting. None of us are. And none of us have attained to this. We're working. We're laboring. So we need encouragement from each other. We need to exhort one another. We need, if there's correction that's needed sometimes in our lack of seeing clearly, then we need to be open for correction. Love corrects. Hallelujah. Love receives correction. Does it not? The last I have on my list here, but it's not the last, I'm sure, in what God is saying to us all together. But love does bring a humility and a service to others. So you can see that this puts us active with knowledge. Not just active. With knowledge. With wisdom. He said, I don't have it. He said, if you don't have it, ask for it. He'll give it to you. Do you believe that? Then we've got to give place for God to do this and have a little patience with each other while God does it. Amen. So a lot of us get out in the boat and sink. Because God didn't say to get out of the boat. But we got out. And we just go blah, 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 blah. We feel that emptiness inside. We know we shouldn't have been out there, but we don't know what to do about it now. We're just splashing around outside the boat. Do you get what I'm saying? when we're moving in God, we're out there in God. And he gives us the ability that we need. I'll give us plenty. You got any questions or anything before we stop here this afternoon? But I would ask you to consider these areas, because these are all things that must be working in our lives if, when God brings us to the place that we're ready for oversight. Because this is not an end in itself, beloved. Eldership or overseers are not an end in themselves. Don't think that we can do without. This is God's order. But what I'm saying, they're not an end in themselves. If we don't have love, we don't have anything. So I merely tried to lay a foundation, because I know each one of you that know the Lord, he has already taken care of the deposit. Not only do you have love in you, you have the ability to love. There's not a divided life. You can't look to yourself. You must look to him. You must be living his life. That's by faith. Moving in him. Doing what he wants. Now, the thing is, I trust this brings us seriousness. Are we serious about what we're doing? Because this is not talking about it and having a system of how to do this. Because if love's not working, we're not going to do anything. We can do all kinds of things, but it doesn't do anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. Love is the most important thing. We need to learn how it works. Because I'm sure most of us can define it. Because we can go right there into the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and we can read those things and say, man, that's what love is. No sense in talking about it unless it's working in us. Right? So, I mean, we need to take this serious. We need to get down and say, okay, I am not there. Because most of us say, well, I know those things. We never do anything about it. I'm asking you this afternoon to do something about every area that I've touched on. Whether it's fervent love that we've spoken about here, whether it's loving the brother, important to do that, and all of these other things that will happen when we do have love. Consider this and to allow it to work in and through you. Don't think that you have it. Don't think it's going to come automatic. It's going to come because you exercise your will, because you already have it within you. So I'm not asking you to do something in yourself. I'm telling you to do something that God has given you. He wants you to give what he has given you. You love because he loved you. Because he gives you the ability to love. Not because you do it separate from him. You do it in union with him. But we've got to work at this. And this is not going to happen in a month's time. We're going to have to labor at this the rest of our living time here on earth. As long as we're in any gathering, whether it's this gathering or some other gathering, we're going to labor at this. We're going to work at it. We're going to love each other fervently. We're going to take responsibility. We're going to start to think what we do. We're going to have to move to edify. That means to build up. So many things we don't even think about. When we do think, we do it without thought. Our lives are being changed by each other. We're either becoming more pliable, more open to God, or we're becoming hard and indifferent. We must think. And when I'm talking about thinking, I'm talking about thinking in God. You know how to do that? Because you're in the Spirit, you're thinking, he's giving you his thoughts, you're realizing what you're doing, and you're doing it with purpose. You're doing it in faith. That brings the reality of it. Is that over anybody's head? What I've said here this afternoon? Everybody understand what I've said? Or tried to say? I apologize for saying it in the way I had so poorly. But these are truths that are so deep, so wide, so high, that none of us can grasp them fully. But I've endeavored to share with you what I feel is the very foundation if we're going to move on, if we're going to see eldership recognized sometime in the future. And not to grow discouraged. Because it's going to take time. Because, beloved, it's going to take time for us to start to love each other further. The first church didn't have all of the baggage that we have. Man, they came out of Judaism. They were house to house. They had one mind. They had everything. They were in one accord. They had everything equal. In other words, their needs were being met. Today, we all got our little castle somewhere, building our own bank account and all of these other things. They didn't have all of these things. Nothing wrong with some of these things. It's just a question if the love of God has got it into our hearts to where He can direct us and lead us, then we're going to come to that place of love that binds us together as He has desired. Then we'll be able to come together. God will be able to use those, move in our hearts. We can function as a body. That eliminates nobody. Sometimes we get these forms in our minds and our thoughts of how everything ought to work, and it doesn't work just the way we think, that it isn't what God wants. But I see, as you look in the Scriptures, a body that comes together that's alive, it's a living what? Sanctuary. It's made of lively stones, living stones. It's filled with the Spirit of God. He's building us together, fitting us together. That's what's happening to us if we're giving ourselves. There's no other place on the face of the earth that anything like this is happening except in the body of Christ. I didn't sit here one amen. Do you believe that? Huh? There's no other place that what God is doing in His body, in the church, there's no other place it's being done except in this many-membered body, in the locality.